We're starting our study of Parshat Shoftim, which is really exciting on a couple of levels. First of all, I got to prepare Parshat Shoftim while I was in Eretz Yisrael. And we know that one of the core underlying themes of Sefer Devarim as a whole is getting us prepared for the Knesset to Eretz Yisrael. So it was a zechut to be able to prepare it there. The downside of that is that I walked off the plane this morning, so my brain's still a little fuzzy, but I prepared this Eretz Yisrael so it was even clearer, because Havirah Shal Eretz Yisrael Machkim, that the Gemara says, so hopefully between the two will at least end up at par. In any event, let's get into Parshat Shoftim. Some really exciting stuff is on Shem today. Parshat Shoftim is a parsha with many, many different topics. And as always, what we want to explore is what is the underlying theme of the parsha, how do all of these paragraphs and all of these mitzvot tie together, and how does this parsha take Sefer Devarim to its next stage. And let's start with the first topic in the opening of Parshat Shoftim. What does Parshat Shoftim open up with? Yes, Hannah's quoting the first pasuk, which let's read it together. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sharecha asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha lishvatecha v'shaftu ata mishpat tzedek. Judges and officers shall you appoint in your cities, which Hashem your God gives you, for your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. Lo tatev lo tata mishpat lo takir panim v'lo tikach shochad ki hashochad ye'aver einei chachamim v'salif divrei tzadikim. You shall not prefer judgment. You shall not respect someone's presence. And you shall not accept a bribe, for the bribe will blind the eyes of the wise and make just the words of the crooked. The very famous pasukim, or half of pasuk, three words: tzedek, tzedek, tzirdof, leman tichyev yarashta ta'aret asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. So, what is the issue here? What's the topic that we're dealing with? Judgment, and judgment requires the establishment of judges or
a court system.
This is the paragraph. We have the establishment of a court system. How did the court systems work? So, in my understanding, you always had an odd number of judges to make sure that you could actually come out with a majority ruling. So you had local bate dinim of 3 judges, also generally local bate dinim of 23 judges. Then, as you moved forward, you got to higher courts that were even sitting in the Beit HaMikdash. One of them and the entrance of Har HaBayit, and one of them in the Azarah, each one also of 23. And then finally you got to the high court, the Beit Din HaGadol, the Sanhedrin, which existed where? In the Beit HaMikdash itself. In the area of the Beit HaMikdash called the Lishkat HaGazit. That was where the Beit Din HaGadol would reside. So the first thing that we have here is the establishment of a court system. And as always, not only do we want to, as we'll do right now, list the primary topics of this Parsha, not only do we want to know how they link together, what are the underlying themes, but also somehow it needs to revolve around this issue of tzedek, of shoftim v'shotrim, titen lecha v'chol sha'arecha. In what way are these psukim, is this paragraph, are these concepts starting off this entire piece of Sefer Devarim, this parsha of Parshat Shoftim? But going through this parsha, we have a ton of... We have a ton of topics and no markers. We have a ton of topics. So we will go through. I'll catch up on the board. Let's glue them together. I know I sent you all out an email saying that you should all look over Parshat Shoftim, and I'm sure that all of you did. So open up Parshat Shoftim, and let's go through what were the major topics that came up in Parshat Shoftim. Good. The establishment of courts is the first one. Then what? The door is locked. It was my fault. Yeah?
A korban at the loam?
Yes. Yeah, so there are two smaller pieces there of removing certain aspects of idolatry and also removing a korban. Then let's get to the bigger topics, the full paragraph topics.
A king in Eretz
Yisrael. Whoa, that's way too far.
Oh, said bigger topics. Just saying.
We have a court system, removing certain aspects of idolatry. The next longer paragraph is if you have a Jew who worships idols, the removal of a Jew who worships idols from the midst of Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Then we come back to another paragraph about the court system, which we're going to take another deeper look at today, which is bringing a matter to that Beit Din HaGadol, which exists in Beit HaMikdash. Then we're on to Aliza's topic, which is
a king in Eretz
Yisrael. Appointing a king.
Appointing a king in Eretz
Yisrael. Then we stray into matters of the service of the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. Issues of Kohanim. Then we have a Navi and a Navi Sheker. Are people following this in the Pesukim at all? People are just writing this on the board. I guess you're taking my word for it. I don't get this from, like, off the internet, by the way. Like, I also look through the Parsha and pull out the major topics. It introduces it the opposite way. The paragraph actually introduces it as two. Am I wrong? No, I think it introduces it as removal of a Navi Sheker. Yeah, I don't remember. Now I'm questioning myself. We are in... Well, I said both, so one of them had to be right. Which way is right? No. Within that paragraph, it says, not to do like the other nations. Rather, you will have Nevi'im, who are true Nevi'im. We're now in Chamishi, we're in Perek Yudchet Pasuk Yud Gimel. Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, and then we have a lot, very interesting paragraph here of the establishment of a Navi on the contrasting background of Moshe and their desire to not hear from Hashem directly at Har Sinai, and from Moshe somehow then comes out that there will be Nevi'im, and then warns Bnei Israel to not follow a Navi Sheker and how to identify a Navi Sheker. We're now up to Perek Yutet as we go forward. Perek Yutet is about what? Good, Ari Miklat. In Ari Miklat, then there's one or two lines there on Sagas Gvul, which is not to go into your friend's property, to keep property lines. Then we have Sukkim about Eidim and Eide Sheker. Which these Sukkim over here are going to be the foundation of Masechtot and Shas. That you can't have one Eid, you need two or three Eidim. What happens if Eidim conspire together to lie in order that something should happen to somebody? You realize that they're Eidim Zomamin. A lot of important concepts that are going to come out through Shas. Then another nice long paragraph, which is in the times of war, who gets sent home? Who can't go out to war when we want to go out to war? The three people that... Are anybody familiar with this? Three people who are not allowed to go out to war? They are? The whole room says. Somebody who is engaged but not yet married, they did it, not me, and they did it in unison. Just saying. So you have somebody who is halakhically engaged but hasn't yet actually gone through the marriage. What else? If you've built a house but not yet gone through with living in the house and being mechanech the house, and the last one is a vineyard. If you've put together a vineyard but you actually haven't seen any crops of your vineyard, all of these things, a person then goes home if they feel that it's not. If a person has not yet kind of fulfilled these things, they go back. So we'll call it who. Not that you can be the hard anyway. Does not go out to war. Who does not go out to war? And then. We still have three topics left. An important paragraph about intentionally when you go into Eretz Yisrael, when you're going to reach farther on in Eretz Yisrael, beyond the boundaries, seeking peace with people before going to war, with the exception of those who live in Eretz Yisrael, who need to be wiped out, no questions asked. Wiping out the people who live in Eretz Yisrael and taking it over, and then the demand for there to be overtures of peace first, before going to war against any other nation. Followed by not cutting down fruit trees when you're laying siege to a city in a war. And then wrapping up very obviously with Egla Arufa, which is this wild deen of if a dead body is found between two cities, and nobody knew who this person was, that they then measure out the distance between the two cities and the city that's closer, they have to bring this calf and they axe the back of its neck, and the people of the city make a statement that they're clean of all blood and of all guilt for this person having died near these, and nobody knew. That's how the Parsha wraps up with Eglah Rufa. What do all of these things have to do with each other? So I was happy it was an error when I was putting this together, because how do you put all this stuff together? Right, quickly just run through it. Establishment of courts, removing certain aspects of idolatry, a Jewish idol worshiper putting him to death, bringing a matter before the Beit HaGadol and the Sanhedrin, appointing a king, service of the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash, Navi and Navi Sheker, Ari Miklat, Hasagas Kvul, Eidut and Eidin Zomimim, in times of war, sending home those who shouldn't go to fight, seeking peace with other nations but wiping out the Canaanim, not cutting down fruit trees when laying siege to a city in Eglah Rufa. It's a lot going on in this Parsha. How do we tie it together? How is this taking Devarim to its next stage? How is this moving the narrative forward? How does it unify in Parsha Shoftim as a whole? Why is this emanating from this concept of Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha? Asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha lishvatecha v'shaftu et ha'am mishvat tzedek. How is it starting off this entire discussion? Ready?
Never been more ready.
How many times have you learned Shoftim? Because we've answered that question also. So we're taking it. We're going to start slow. We're going to tie it. We're not going to actually tie each piece together. That would take longer than we have. The year is quickly running away from us, and we want to see more of Sefer Devarim. But concepts that we will talk about on Wednesday will still unify all of these pieces. But for now, I really want to focus in on this concept of this Shoftim v'Shotrim, and how this starts off the parsha and gives us that foundation, gives us that background. To do that, I actually want to talk about what the bridge is between Re'eh to Shoftim. Let's take a look at that second paragraph that discusses the issue of setting up a court system. That's in your Chumashim, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chet. The second paragraph about this establishment of a court system. We're going to read the whole paragraph together, and we're going to spend time on this, so stick with me in the Hebrew or the English. Ki pale mimcha davar lamishpat bin dam ledam bin din ledin bin nega lenega divrei rivot bisharecha vekamta vealita lamakom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha bo. If a matter of judgment is hidden from you between blood and blood, between verdict and verdict, between plague and plague, matters of dispute in your cities, you shall rise up and ascend to the place that Hashem your God has chose. Uvat el kohanim aleviim bela shofet asher yeb bayimim ahem v'darash v'gidu lecha et devar hamishpat. You shall come to the kohanim, the Levites, and to the judge who will be in those days. You shall inquire, and they will tell you the word of judgment. Vasita al pi adavar asher yagidu lecha min hamakom asher ahu asher yivchar Hashem v'shamarta la'asot l'chol asher yorucham. You shall do according to the word that they will tell you from that place that Hashem will choose, and you shall be careful to do according to everything that they will teach you. Al pi haTorah asher yoruchah v'al mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. According to the teaching that they will teach you, and according to the judgment that they will say to you, shall you do. You shall not deviate from the word that they will tell you right or left. Va'isher yaseh v'zadon levil tishmo al hakohen ha'omed l'sharet sham et Hashem Elokecha o el ha'shofet u'met ha'ishahu u'vi'ar tahara mi'Yisrael v'kol ha'am yishmu v'yiru v'yirau v'lo yizidun od. And the man who will act again with willfulness, not listening to the Kohen who stands there to serve Hashem, your God, or to the judge, that man shall die, and you shall destroy the evil from among Israel. The entire nation shall listen and fear, and they shall not act willfully anymore. Thinking about the transition from Parshat Re'eh, which we talked about, it was for us before spring break. So it was a few weeks ago. There was one concept that very clearly links Parshat Re'eh and issues that we talked about in Parshat Re'eh and acts as a bridge into Parshat Shoftim looking at this paragraph. What concept here returns linking these two together? Excellent. Not just. What's the first word? You missed the first word. Hamakom asher yivchar Hashem. Hamakom asher yivchar Hashem. That concept comes back. What did we say was Hamakom asher yivchar Hashem? That's the Chumash's way of defining. That's as far as it's going to define Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash. And like we said before, that's where the Sanhedrin is going to reside. It's going to reside in Hamakom HaShivchar Hashem. And therefore, that's what this paragraph is talking about. When there is no way for the local courts to determine what's going on, to make a decision and judgment, you go to the high court, you go to the Sanhedrin. Where do they reside? In Hamakom HaShivchar Hashem. But there's a clear difference between what happens at Hamakom HaShivchar Hashem in Parshat Re'eh, and what happens in HaMakom HaShem Yivchar Hashem in Parshat Shoftim. What is the function of HaMakom HaShem Yivchar Hashem in Parshat Re'eh? What are we going there to do? What is the Beit HaMikdash primarily looked at as being about? What is Beit HaMikdash? A place of? Of what?
Worship.
We go there to serve God. It's a place of avodah. We're there to do avodat Hashem. We're there to bring korbanot. It's there to go to. It's a place. It's the religious center. It's a place of worship. It's a place of avodah. What is it in Parshat Shoftim? What is Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem in the context of Parshat Shoftim? It's in the name of the parsha. Place of judgment. A place of mishpat. Two totally different layers of HaMakom HaShir Yivchar Hashem. Parshat Re'eh, it's a place of Avodah, it's the religious center. Parshat Shoftim, it's the place of judgment. Of Mishpat Tzedek, coming out of HaMakom HaShir Yivchar Hashem, out of Beit HaMikdash. What this is bringing out is that Beit HaMikdash, which is the focal point of Eretz Yisrael and the place that all of Eretz Yisrael revolves around, has two distinct layers. These two layers of Avodah and Mishpat. And that sets up for us an important paradigm. In modern Western secular society today, we separate between Avodah and Mishpat, between religion and judgment, between
church and state.
We say that those two things, that they are entirely distinct, they have to be totally separate from each other. There's no intersection between church or religion, and it applies to all religions. There's no intersect between religion and state. We're not able to think in a unified way, so we separate the two and don't allow them to interact. And the Torah is telling us in these two parashiyot the exact opposite. Dafka, the place that is the religious center. Dafka, the place that is a place of avodah. That is the place where Mishpat emanates from. That's where it comes out of. There's a unity between Avodah and Mishpat. Both are unified at HaMakom HaShir Yivchar Hashem. Why does Mishpat emanate from Beit HaMikdash? Why is it coming there? What is that coming to show us? What is that telling us? Because the goal of Mishpat, what Mishpat is about, what Judgment is about, getting to the truth. And in the words of my Rebbe, the way that he actually phrased it when he gave over this shiur, a lot of this is my adaptation of it, but this phrase is the way he put it. He says, justice is the system of the application of truth. Justice is the system of the application of truth. That's the goal of Mishpat. Mishpat is the trickling down of truth into the smallest aspects of life. On the flip side, why does Avodah take place in the Beit HaMikdash? Because the Beit HaMikdash, Makom HaMikdash, that's the source of all life for the entire world. There are many beautiful Gemarot about this. One of them we quoted previously in our Devarim Shirim. The Gemara in Tanit, which even talks about how the whole world, how Yerushalayim receives the water first and the whole world drinks afterward. All of the life force comes down into Yerushalayim first and the whole world is receiving its life force from Makom HaMikdash. In the same way, the Makom HaMikdash is the place, according to Chazal, where everything started from. All of creation, the point of origin of all of creation is Evan Ashtia, that place of Makom HaMikdash. If you want the place of where the Big Bang came from, That centerpiece of all of reality is in Beit HaMikdash. And so too is all of life, all life forces coming through Beit HaMikdash. And Avodah, the goal of Avodah is to bring more life force into this world. It's drawing forth more life into this world. Beit HaMikdash is both the source of Chayim, life, and Emet, truth. Drawing both down into the world. And the source of both, what unifies them is that the source of both are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore emanate from Beit HaMikdash. All aspects of a Jewish society in Eretz Yisrael are expressing a reality of Chayim and Emet, and therefore revolve around and emanate from the same place, which is Beit HaMikdash. So that's why we're taking this high court, we're taking the Beit Din HaGadol, we're taking the Sanhedrin, and we're literally embedding the Sanhedrin into the fabric of Beit HaMikdash itself. It resides in that space. It exists in the Lishkat HaGazit, in the Beit HaMikdash. Because it is emanating from that, from Beit HaMikdash, through the Beit Din, through the Sanhedrin, is where Emet comes out into the world. And it's all being funneled through that place and embedded into this place of Kiddushah, which is Beit HaMikdash. And in my understanding then, that's what definitionally makes it tzedek. Right? That's how the psukim open up. Shoftim v'shochim titen lecha b'chol sharecha, asher mashil lo kemcha noten lecha lishvatecha, v'shaftu ata'am mishpat tzedek. It needs to be a mishpat that's tzedek. Ma zeh tzedek? It's that it's emet, it's that it's truth, it's that it's true. Tzedek, tzedek tirdof. Societal structure and laws and judgment are not meant to start from the human mind. The human mind is fallible. We as people can make mistakes. We come up with systems of laws. So what makes one system of law better or more righteous or more tzadok? Yeah. More true than any other system of laws? The answer is it doesn't. If it comes from a human sense of morality, it doesn't. No one is more true or more righteous than another. What makes something a truly mishpat tzedek? How do you know if it's correct? It's tzedek because Hashem Himself commands that it should be so. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing here is he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding that we set up a court system in Beit HaMikdash. At the end of the day, who is going to be bringing forth that actual judgment? Who's going to be making the judgment in the Beit HaMikdash? The Sanhedrin. Who gives the Sanhedrin the right? Hashem. And that's the key. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these psukim is giving us the command to have that court system. And therefore is saying, this is part of the way that justice is meant to be, is that you have this Sanhedrin, and that it reflects my Mishpat Tzedek, and on the flip side, continuously reminds the Sanhedrin that their goal is not to put forth their own perspectives, but rather to reflect a true Mishpat Tzedek. It goes both ways. That the fact that their existence is defined, is demanded, is commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what gives it the reality of Mishpat Tzedek. It's reflected in their existing in Beit HaMikdash. And on the flip side, a constant reminder in my mind to them that that is where their, that's where their truth has to emanate from. Rebbe didn't go in this direction at all. But this jumped out at me immediately as being a stark contrast to something we discussed much earlier on in Devarim. Anybody remember? The first paragraph of Sefer Devarim. The first thing in the Mishnah Torah, layer of Mishnah Torah, the first thing that in Devarim that's retold is not Chet HaMeraglim. Remember there was a few psukim which prefaced Chet HaMeraglim, which we actually spent a whole year explaining how it led into Chet HaMeraglim, which we all clearly remember. Anyone? Good. It's good that we're doing Chazara. That's the essence of what the Mishnah Torah is about. Good. Is that if you look earlier on in the Psukim there, we discussed these Psukim before. In Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Bet, we had that Echa, that first coming out of Echa in Chumash. Echa asal levadi tarchachem umasachem v'rivchem. Therefore, havu lachem anashim chachamim univonim viduim l'shiftechem v'asimim v'roshechem. Anybody have any, is coming back at all? There was an establishment of a court system first. We reviewed where was this court system established? In Parsha Yitro. And the retelling of the establishment of the court system in Parsha Yitro is in the beginning of Devarim. Anybody remember how we explained it then? Everybody's hands just went up, so I'll do it myself. What we discussed then was the idea that the establishment of a court system was incredibly empowering for Bnei Israel. Originally, what was happening was that a person had a question. They went to Moshe. Moshe went to God. God gave him an answer. And you literally got God's response through Moshe. The problem was that it was too cumbersome. Moshe couldn't do it alone. Echa esal levadi tarchachem umasachem v'rivchem. And Yitro comes along and gives a solution, set up a court system. And that court system could have been an opportunity for everybody then to have had the opportunity to reflect an aspect of truth in this world. Each one of us is unique, each one of us is distinct, and every person would have been put forth a reflection of truth in this world. But that was a double-edged sword. Because the second that you open up the system for each person to have their chelak in it, you also then create the potential for each person to distort it with their own broken perspectives, their own agendas. And that's what we said led to the disaster that was Chet HaMeraglim. And all of Bnei Yisrael joining in with the Meraglim and crying out on that night. But if you go back and re-listen to those Devarim Shirim, we talked about how this was the beginning of the opening up of the system of Klal Yisrael, and they made a mistake. They ruined it. And they let their poisoned agendas and perspectives come out to a place where they even got to, B'sinat Hashem Otanu, that God took us out because of His hatred. They were in a totally bad place. But that started with the establishment of a court system. Pasuk Yadalad there, Parakal Pasuk Yadalad in Devarim, where they responded, where we never saw anything like this before except in Devarim. Vatanu otiva tamru tova davar asher dibarta lasod. Bnei Yisrael go to Moshe, you know what? That's a great idea. We're in. Since when do we say that to Moshe? That's a great idea. We suddenly have our own opinions, our own perspectives on things. And that's how the court system first emerged. And that's ultimately what led to Chet HaMeraglim, Tisha B'Av, and Chorban. I would suggest, potentially, that this is a tikkun of that. This isn't a situation of, and to me it's starting to, I've never had a good answer for this internally for this. What, you know, we said that the first time the Eicha comes out in Chumash is this Eicha in Parshat Devarim that leads to the re-examination of Chet HaMeraglim and the destruction of Vechule. But what is it in that pasuk? I told God, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And you feel bad for Moshe Rabbeinu. Every single Jew in all of Klal Yisrael at that time had a problem. Who did they go to for an answer? Moshe, that was it. There are only 1,000 of you on this campus, and I feel like saying Echa Asa Levadi. Maybe that's why I'm not ready to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. But like, you had to deal with the whole people. And yet somehow that's where the word Echa comes out, and that's what produces the court system, and that's what produces the broken perspectives. And I wonder if the issue here is where did it come from? It came from these arguments within Bnei Israel. It came from what was originally different perspectives. Moshe not being able to handle that on his own. And where did the court system emanate from? It came from below up. Yitro suggested it. The people agreed. Who wasn't present in this conversation, in this telling in Devarim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we have a tikkun for that, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now coming and commanding us to create a court system lechatchila. It's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just want to frame it the way that I framed, that I had in my mind in Israel. Here in our parsha, there's a constant reminder of the source of that mishpat. It's embedded into the Beit HaMikdash, emphasizing that the mishpat has to reflect the Beit HaMikdash. And additionally, that the command itself in this case, again, is not coming from man, but it's coming from Hashem. Hashem is the source of this court system and the source of its power. The court is in its origin from Hashem. He commanded it. All the power that it has is because of the command of Hashem. And therefore, it's an extension of and a manifestation of Devar Hashem. It's rooted in its establishment and its location in Devar Hashem and Beit HaMikdash. That is the source of its success, its tzedek, and its proper perspective. That when I read these psukim, it's just that's where my mind immediately jumped to, is this contrast to how it originally came up and what's unique about this. And I think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was intentionally going forward, pushing the boundaries, and not just saying to have a court system which would have been enough, but again saying it has to stay in Beit HaMikdash to remember that you are there, because God said the only reason that you have the right to rule a judgment is because God gave you that power to be an extension of His Mishpat. And so therefore you're rooted in Beit HaMikdash. And I think it's because of the way that this court system is created, the way that the Sanhedrin is created, the fact that this is the paradigm for how it should be, that the court system is given its power from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that it's reflecting the tzedek, the mishpat tzedek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These psukim, therefore, extend far beyond the Beit HaMikdash. Anybody know what these psukim are actually the source of? These are the psukim that are what give the right of all generations for the chachamim of those generations to be the ones to determine the halacha. This is where the command comes from. Looking back at those psukim, let's see it from that perspective inside, and then I want to read you some incredible quotes that are brought down by the Mima Makim. Go back to the psukim here again. Pasuk Yud, Perek Yizayim Pasuk Yud. Vasita al piya davar ashi agidu lecha. You have to do according to the words that you're told by that shofet. Min hamakom asher yivchar Hashem. The Shamarta la asot kechol asher yuchiv, do everything that he tells you. Al piya Torah asher yirucha ve'al mishpat asher yirbu lecha ta'aseh. According to everything that judge tells you and the judgment that he gives you, you have to do. Lo tasor min adavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. Don't stray right or left from what the judge tells you. And on the flip side, the ha'ish asher yaseh v'zadon nevil tishma ala kohen omeh l'sharet shamat et Hashem elokecha o el ha'shofet to meit ha'ishahu uvi'arta haram Yisrael. And one who doesn't, who goes against the ruling, is put to death. Talking about how, again, the lasting effects for all generations of listening and understanding and taking in and accepting the words of the Sanhedrin, the Sefer Yamakim brings down a few very powerful quotes. The first one's from the Ramban. Everybody jumps on the fact that Chazal say, don't stray right or left. That's where the famous Chazal comes. That even if they tell you that your right is your left and your left is your right, you have to believe them. How is that possible? But you know that they're wrong. You know that this is your right and you know that this is your left. I once heard one very beautiful interpretation which fits into, this is not from Yom Malkin, but that fits into what we've been talking about in the Sefer, right? This is your right and this is your left, correct? Hannah says no. Why does Hannah say no? Right. That it comes to, sometimes that comes down to perspective. Meaning if the judge is looking at you and saying this is right and this is left, and you say no. this is right and this is left, it depends on what perspective you're standing in. And who is bringing out a reflection of Mishpat Tzedek? Not me, well, in this case me, but meaning the Sanhedrin or the Chachamim of that generation. And the concept of that I might not understand the perspective that they're coming from. And I might be so sure that they're wrong, but if I just turn around 180 degrees, I'll realize that I was one who was wrong. It's a beautiful way of understanding. I mean, it's a very Pashtut way of understanding that Mamar Chazal. But even on the most simplistic level of how deep that Chazal goes. But that comes from these Pesukim. But even if they tell you your right is your left and your left is your right, you have to believe them. And everybody keeps coming back to this fact that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's giving them this power. And therefore, that's what gives it its tzedek. Aval Tomar, he says, even if they tell you something which you think for sure is not true, says the Ramban on these Pesukim. Aval Tomar, Kach tzivauti ha'adon ha'mitzuveh al ha'mitzvot she'eseh b'chol mitzvotav k'chol asher yirunu ha'mdim lefanav makom asher yivchar. It was the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself who told me to do exactly as they told me to do. And that is me fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. Ve'al mashma'ut da'atam natan li ha'torah afilu yit'u. And God gave me the Torah through them, even if you think they made a mistake. That was how it was meant to come down. That was how it was meant to manifest. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the power to reflect the Emet in the world. You see all of these sources inside. He gives you quotes. I actually have all of the full text of each of these pieces over here, and I went through all of them. You have to see these pieces inside. They're incredibly powerful. I'm giving you small little pieces here. He brings also a Ran. Parsha hazot he shoresh haTorah v'yisoda. It's an incredibly powerful line from the Ran. This parsha is the root of Torah and its foundation. This concept. Ki eif shar shishtavu chachamim kulam b'dinim apratiim amitaldim bechol yom. There's things that are always going to come up that are new. Lachin l'salek kol safek miYisrael. In order to remove any doubt in any moment in the lives of every person in Klal Yisrael. Tzavta Torah liyot machri'ea machloket. The Torah commanded that these are the people who are going to determine when there's a machloket. That it's the Kata Sanhedrin, the group of the Sanhedrin. Uvazeh yefshar sheitchadesh shum safek bizmanam shlo yitba'er. Then therefore there could be no safek, because you know what you do? You take your question, you bring it to the Sanhedrin rules, and what's the truth? What the Sanhedrin say, why is what the Sanhedrin say true? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. That's what I'm saying, that's what gives it its life and its power. It's coming to that Makor Chaim of Makom Asher Yivchar, and it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this command. That's where this comes from. And the Sefer Achinuch says that applies to all generations. I'm going to read a little bit more than that. It's this incredibly powerful, beautiful Lashon. Misharshei mitzvah lefi shedeot b'nei ha'adam chokim ze mizeh lo yishtavu leolam harbei deot badvarim. Part of the root of the mitzvah is that every single person has a different perspective. Everybody's perspective is different. V'yadu adon hakol baruch hu she'ilu tiyya kavanat kituvei ha'torah misura b'yad kol achad v'achad b'nei ha'adam. Ish ish kefi sichlo. And God knew that if he gave every single person the power to be the ones to interpret the emet of Torah, each one according to their mind, their perspective, their intellect, yiparish kol echad mehem divrei Torah kefi svarato v'yarbea machloket v'yisrael v'mashmut ha'mitzvot v'taseh atzorah kekama torot. If everybody thinks that they can do whatever they want and everybody thinks that their perspective is right, you end up with different Torahs. And by the way, living in a generation of postmodernism, living in a generation of everybody's perspective is correct, we actually see that manifest. When there is no consensus of who to go to, and there isn't any more the reverence for the Chachamim. He hasn't gotten to that yet. But he says that this applies to every generation. Sitting forward a little bit. He has the whole door of a door in every single generation, black and white in the Sefer Achinuch. Uvechol dor vador gam kein shenishma el hachachamim hanimsaim shekiblu divrehem v'chulei. He goes on, he's flowery and beautiful lashon here. He says, in every single generation, we have to listen to the chachamim that exist in that generation and accept their words. But this is the source of that. That's coming from here. Why is it coming from our parsha? Why is it coming from this parsha? Because again, it's emphasizing not just for that generation, and not just for the generations that were zochet to a Beit HaMikdash and lived in Eretz Yisrael. It's explaining to us that Devar Hashem is, that God is commanding us, that there should be those who are machria, those who decide, those who are the shoftim, those who determine the halakha, those who determine the right path in Avodat Hashem, that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's on us to follow that emet, and to accept that that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on the flip side, that puts on the shoulders of the Chachamim of all generations the requirement to link themselves back to the Sanhedrin, back to HaMakom Asher Yivchar, back to the source of Din and Mishpat and Tzedek itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why this parsha can set this up for all generations. And it sets it up on the level of Din, but it doesn't just set it up on the level of Din. My Rebbe quoted the Rambam. That was the one source he quoted in his shiur. And to me, it brought it together perfectly and brought it to its final stage here for our shiur. The Rambam says, in the beginning of Hilchot Mamrim, Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph, Beit Din HaGadol Shebi Yushalayim, is how he phrases it? Him Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the essence of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is the constant moving forward, the endlessness, the infinite discussion of the emes of Torah for all generations, meant to be brought out by those who truly reflect that emes of Torah. And the Rambam says that this is the establishment, this is the source of Torah Shebaal Peh for all generations. Why is this coming out in Sefer Devarim? There are a few good answers to this question. One of them, who is speaking Sefer Devarim? Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's a lot of talk in many ways in which Sefer Devarim is the beginning of the emergence of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because who is speaking Devarim? Moshe. This is somehow both Devar Hashem and the Devarim of Moshe at the same time. Well, which one is it? The answer is it can be both. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it was both. By Moshe Rabbeinu was on a whole different level. He was literally, Devar Hashem was coming through him, manifest. So you talk about the deeper Sfarim, talk about how Moshe's the Garon is like the throat in the body. That's what he reflects. He's pouring out the words of Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu is showing that humanity has the capacity to bring out the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps at a different level. And who is that going to go to? Who is his main Talmid? Yoshua. And all the Sfarim talk about how Yeshua is the Bechina of Torah Shebaal Peh. And how Eretz Yisrael is the Bechina of Torah Shebaal Peh. Of the extension and the application and the drawing out of Torah Shebichtav into the world. In its new situations, with its new demands. And so this Parsha, as part of this Sefer, is bringing out the source of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the source of dealing with Halakha for all time. Through the pilpul that goes into deciding Halakha. To the diyun that goes into deciding halakha for all generations. And the demand that it all links back to HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. That's what I wanted to engage with today. This concept again of starting off this parsha with Mishpat and how powerful this concept of Tzedek and Mishpat is. The fact that the concept of the distinction between church and state or between religion and state is an inadequacy in the modern world to deal with true emet, with a unified vision of the world, with a unified vision of reality. That tzedek and avodah, that religion, that yahadut for us, Judaism, and emet and mishpat are all coming from the same source, they all come from Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why both emanate from Beit HaMikdash. They emanated from it then when the Sanhedrin sat in the Lishkat HaGazit in the Beit HaMikdash at HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. And according to the Sefer HaChinuch, and in its own way, according to the Rambam, that exists even today. And to have that Hachna'a, the ability to subjugate oneself and recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to the Chachamim of each generation, the Siyata Deshmaya, he's the one who's bringing out through the Mishpat Tzedek. And to be very careful when we choose who our posek is, when we choose who's giving us guidance in life, to double check and make sure, are they bringing out Mishpat Tzedek? When I ask this person a shaila, when I look at that person's face, do I believe that that person is going to be funneling for me Mishpat Tzedek into this world? I wasn't sure if we were going to do this out loud or not. I had this in my brain, but I just got off a plane a long time ago now. 12 hours ago? I don't even know what time it is. Is it 12? It feels like ages ago. So we'll do it for a minute or two. I think it's an important concept, and somebody calls me to task for it in the Seder. Which is the concept of what we just talked about a second ago, which is how important it is and how careful one, on the flip side, has to pick who their posek and who their rav should be. Because the person that you pick should be somebody that be'emet, when you look at that person, that you feel, you know that that person isn't just giving you an answer. That they are, because of their wealth of the knowledge of Torah, and the emes of who they are in reflecting Dvar Hashem, regardless of their personal perspectives, that that person is going to be for you, that person who is funneling forth for you, Dvar Hashem. That's something very hard to find, and that takes a lot of time to find out. So it's a shir in and of itself. My Rebbe talks about it, the fact, and he says it in a very powerful way. My Rebbe often says things in a very harsh way. He says that many people fool themselves. And they think that, okay, you know, all I need to do is find a posek. I'll find a posek. Whatever my posek says, then I'll do what they say. Then after 120. So I get to a Kadosh Baruch after 120. And I say that, and the Kadosh Baruch says, why did you do this, that, and the other thing? And I'll say, well, I asked Rabbi so-and-so. And they think that that's going to be the end of the conversation. And Rabbi says very, very powerfully, says, of course you have to pick a Rav. Of course you have to pick a posek. But don't think for a second that as soon as you turn to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, well, Rav so-and-so said so, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to look back at you and say, okay, fine, but why did you pick that person to be your Rav? Why did you pick that person to be the person who reflects Mishpat, who reflects Halakha, who reflects Hashkafa in this world? Why did you pick him? Why did you pick that person? For every single deen that person gives you, says my Rebbe, you will be called to task for every single one on that basic question of why did you choose that person? Because that comes from you. That comes from your Bechira. That's a tremendous responsibility on a person to deeply search for the individual who is going to funnel Torah in this world for you. Who is that person going to be? Why is it that person? When you look at that person's face, do you feel that they are indeed funneling Dvar Hashem through Beit HaMikdash, through them, that they're speaking the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Torah Sheba'al Peh that the Rambam is talking about? That they're the ones who are bringing into this world the truth for that generation, like the Sefer HaChinuch was talking about. Halakha is something very serious, but it's something very personal. It has to be that you truly feel that you're linking back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu through it, and that comes from choosing that person you feel. Is you feel and you know on all levels of being, it's not just a matter of feeling, but that you, in your kishkas, there's no better way to put it, right? When you look at that person and you know, this person, when I hear them speak, not chas v'shalom that I'm confusing them for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's not what I'm saying. But that when I hear them speak, I hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to me through them, and they're just a vessel for sharing with me Dvar Hashem. That's a lot more rare, that's a lot more difficult to find than a shul rabbi, than a community rav. And when one picks a community, or one even picks, in this generation, you don't even pick a community, right? Some of my rabbis are on WhatsApp now, which is like mind-blowing to me that they even know what it is, let alone how to use it, right? You don't necessarily need to see that person. I'm not saying one should only interact with a person over the phone. I think that's not good. But you can even, you don't even need to be in the same place anymore. But to choose who is going to be your rabbi, who is going to be your posek, and who is going to guide you in life, who is a reflection of the Tvar Hashem, who is living Parshat Shoftim. Do they already have a Siddur on them? And we'll end with this. Tiny one is fine. See the words. I'm just too tired to quote it off the top of my head. Thank you. You both get the mitzvah. Whoa.
Oh, looking at all the writing that I put in there.
I'm trying to find the print. The writing's so much prettier than the block text. After I prepared the shiur, it changed my tefillah. For the first time, I understood a little bit, and perhaps I should have just studied what the tefillah was instead of waiting until it came through the shiur. But it came from the Torah itself. That's where it's supposed to come from. That as soon as we ask we dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, tekabishvar gadol chirutinu, that we dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring us all back to Eretz Yisrael. The next thing that we dive in for is Hashiva shofteinu kavarishona. The way it was meant to be. Return our shoftim to the way it was. And I always wonder, why do we care about judges? Who cares about the court system? There's so many bigger, loftier things to care about. And the answer is, that's wrong. That's false. This parsha says, shoftim v'shoftim titen lecha b'chol shorecha. We're going to go into that even more next year. But that's the first thing that you need to establish it. Hashivenu shoftim v'shoftim, in the sense that they're really funneling forth of our shoftim, because we're going to be back in Yerushalayim, then we need to have mishpat tzedek, and that's what we daven for. V'yoatzenu kevatchila, it's not just about halakha, it's who's going to guide us, who's going to advise us. Yoatzenu kevatchila. V'aseri men yagon v'anachal mloch al... Hear the words. Umloch aleinu ata Hashem levadecha bechesed v'rachamim. Who are we talking about now? Umloch aleinu ata Hashem levadecha bechesed v'rachamim. I think the implication here is because why do we need the shoftim and the yoatzim? Because that's how we receive Malchut Hashem. Because they determine for us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rule over us. He gave them the power to define the halakha for us. And they reflect the deed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And therefore, v'tzadekeinu b'mishpat, Baruch Atah Hashem, melech ohev, tzaka u'mishpat. Mishpat tzedek, 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 yerdof, all of these words from this parasha. That's what we're davening for. That's what we're yearning for. And that's what we're desperately trying to, on some level, in our own lives, aspire to achieve. And seek out in finding that right person. But to eventually not just have that personal and that local shofet or rav or madrich in our lives, but to eventually Be'ezrat Hashem get back to a place where we have the Beit HaMikdash, where we see the Binyan Bayit Shlishi B'mehera Bi'Yameinu, and the return of the Sanhedrin, the return to the Lishkat HaGazit, and to the return to being able to see with our own eyes Dvar Hashem coming in through the Beit HaMikdash, through the Sanhedrin, and then bringing forth Dvar Hashem in Mishpat Tzedek Be'ezrat Hashem B'mehera Bi'Yameinu.